So we left off yesterday. We saw a story concerning Rav Shimon ben Shetach. The Gemara had just said that if a person gives testimony, it's got to be proper Eidos and not what the Gemara called Mu'umud. Mu'umud means conjecture. What was the example of conjecture? The example was you see one person running after another. Sword in hand, you find one of them killed in the building that they ran into. The sword is dripping with blood. The dead man is quivering and on the verge of dying. It looks for the world that Reuven killed Shimon, and yet that's not considered Eidos because he never actually saw the murder itself. He just has circumstantial evidence, albeit very overwhelming. Very clear circumstantial evidence, but that's called mu'umud. So if you remember, we left off with the story of Rav Shimon ben Shetach, because Rav Shimon ben Shetach had this very precise story, and he said that, "I'm sorry, I cannot put you to death, because the Torah says, 'Al pi shnayim edim yumas hames.'" With the obvious question being, why did he need to quote the pasuk of "Al pi shnayim edim"? If you say that somebody who did not actually witness the crime, rather, it was just mu'umud, is invalid from being an aid. So it's nothing to do with the fact that you need two aidim. Even if one aid would suffice, he also would be disqualified because he never testified, he never saw it at all. So why did he have to quote the pasuk of Al pi shnayim aidim? So we saw that this was addressed in Tosfos, and Tosfos says that clearly we are talking about a story that Shimon ben Shetach had somebody else with him. So for that wasn't the issue. The issue indeed was not the fact that there were not enough Edim. There were two Edim. That was 100% fine. That was not the issue. But rather, the stress was not on the word Shnayim. The stress was on the word Edim. This is the actual definition of Edim. Edim means not somebody who may know of the event, but rather somebody who actually witnessed the event. And if it's just conjecture because he saw the knife and the blood and the running, et cetera, none of that constitutes Eidos. That's what we left off with. So if you have a look at the Gemara, if you remember, the very last line of the story was that Rav Shimon ben Shetach said, even though we cannot put you to death as a Beis Din, because Beis Din requires Eidos, and this is not Eidos. But obviously, there is no doubt whatsoever as to how this person got killed. No shaila whatsoever. It's just a technicality. At the end of the day, Beis Din can only kill when there is Eidos, and this is not considered Eidos. So Rav Shimon ben Shetach says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should seek retribution. And guess what happened? Immediately, a snake arrived on the scene, and he bit him, and he died on the spot. So he definitely got his death sentence very quickly, albeit not from Beis Din, for reasons we just explained, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged the snake should come and bite him. So have a look at the Gemara. The first word on the line is Shebo. Shebo Nochosh.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
What's the chiddush that Hashem's going to put the guy to death if there's no Eidos? I mean, isn't that obviously, if
It's
we
not a good.
don't,
You didn't say it's
because
a good.
Hashem runs the world, so if we can't
The
bring a
Kiddush
guy
was
to.
that it happened straight away. Happened straight away. It says, Loizazu. They didn't
Oh, I
even
see.
move from there, and a snake came straight away. So the Gemara asked the following question. Vahai bar nochoshu? Question mark. Or rather, Vahai bar nochoshu? Does this person deserve to die by being bitten by a snake? How appropriate on the last day of Zman, on Erev Tisha B'Av, we learn a Gemara that quotes Churban Beis HaMikdosh. From the day the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Afal pi shebotlo Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin is bottled, we don't have a Sanhedrin anymore, but the concept of Arba Misois Loi Boklu. But the concept of the four Misois, that was not in this battle. Now, what are the four Misois? As we well know, they are in various order. There's a machlokes about the order, which we will learn Be'ezus Hashem later on in the Masechta. But Cherev means by the sword. There is also Chenek, which is strangulation, skila, which is stoning, and srefa, which is burning. Those are the four mises. So the Gemara says that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though the Sanhedrin is no longer in existence, but the Arba Misos still exist. Now, what does that mean? That sounds a contradiction in terms. If there's no Bezdin, then obviously the four Misos can't exist. So the Gemara explains, what does this mean? Loi botlu, v'ha botlu. What do you mean they were not bottled? They jolly well are bottled. If there's no Bezdin to administer these Arba Misos, well then clearly the Arba Misos are bottled. So the Gemara explains, no, what it means is as follows. Elodin Arba Misos loi botlu, with the stress being on the word din. Not that Bezdin can administer the four Misos. As mentioned, the Bezdin is bottled. They don't exist since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But the din, the overall concept of the four Misos, that still does exist. What does that mean that still exists? The Gemara explains. Din arba Misos loy botlu. How so? Mishen is chayev skila. Because if somebody is essentially chayev skila, for example, he was mechalal Shabbos, as we know, somebody who's mechalal Shabbos gets punished by skila. Now, there's no Bezdin in existence since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed who could possibly try him or administer the death sentence of skila. But you know what will happen to him? Oy, noifel min hagag. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange and he'll fall off a roof, which is a type of stoning. Oy, chaya doirastoy. Or wild animal will trample him. That's also a type of skila. So that's what it means that the four misos are not bottle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange that a punishment will befall him, which is similar to the misa that he deserves. So, number one, if he deserves skila, then he will fall off a roof. If you have a look at Rashi, look at Rashi. Or maybe better, before we see Rashi, let's go back into the Gemara. So if he's chayev beskila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange that albeit the Bezdin cannot administer the skila, but he'll get something which is similar to, he'll fall off a roof, he'll have be consumed by an animal. That's number one. Number two. Mishen is chayev srefa. If somebody is chayev to be killed by fire, what will happen to him? Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange, oh, noifel bidleika, or he'll fall into a dleika, into a fire, oh, nochosh makishoy, or a snake will bite him. Now, why is a snake bite comparable to srefa? So we'll see in a second. In Rashi says, because the venom of the snake, as it were, burns this individual, and that's like a type of srefa. That is the third example. Mishen is chayev hariga. If somebody is chayev to be killed, that means by sword, oy nimsar lamalchus. Either he'll be given over to the authorities and they'll kill him by the sword, oy listim boimolov, or bandits will come to him and they'll kill him in the way that they do, which is with a sword. Finally, Mishen is chayev chenek. If somebody is chayev to die by strangulation, oy toivea benohor, or he will drown in a river, which is a type of suffocation or strangulation, oy meis besarunchi. What's besarunchi?
Choking.
Have a look at Rashi. Rashi, it begins on the third wide line. Din arba misois, puronios bidei shomayim. He will get punishment from heaven, as opposed to from Bezdin. Hadoime, which is similar to
lemisa shehu mechuyev ba. That'll be similar to the death sentence that he's chayev in anyway. Nochosh makishoy, says Rashi, de koli le ziyaro. The ziyaro, which is the poison, will burn him, which means that the eres, the poison, the venom of the nochosh soifoy, will burn him. Noifel min hagag. Why, if somebody who is chayev skila, why will he fall from the roof? Dumya de skila. That's comparable to skila, because it's an come on. We're going to learn later on. Beis haskila hoysa gavoya shtei koimois. The koima shaloi and another koima harikan shalosh. What they used to do is they used to push him off from a tremendous height of at least 3 floors, which is about 6 or 7 meters, 8 meters tall. So therefore, falling off a roof is actually comparable to the death sentence of skila. And finally, listin bo'in olov, bandits will come across him, shedarkon lohorgoi besayef. Their way is to kill with a sword. Vechei nimsar lemalchus, so too, somebody who's handed over to the authorities, shematizin roishoi, they decapitate him, take off his head. That's also killed with a sword. Therefore, what is the Gemara saying? When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no Bezdin. That's true. But the Arba Misais still exists. How can that be? How can you tell me that the Arba Misais exists if indeed there's no Bezdin to administer them? That's what the Gemara is saying, that no. What it means is not that the Bezdin will administer the Arba Misais, but rather the 4 Misais HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that whatever punishment you're supposed to get from the Beis Din, well, you can't get it from the Beis Din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange that you get a similar punishment which would match the punishment that you were supposed to get from the Beis Din. With a big question being, and that's why the Gemara is asking it, if that's the case, why in the case of Shimon ben Shotach, what happened to this individual? He ended up being killed by a snake. Shimon Shotach says, even though I can't kill you as a Beis Din because there was no real Eidos, it's just circumstantial or conjecture, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. And indeed he did. Immediately a snake comes along, bites him, puts him to death. So the question is, why did he get killed by the snake? If the murder, if the crime that he committed was what? That he killed somebody else. What's the punishment for killing somebody else? He himself gets killed by the sword. And we just said that when somebody needs to be killed by the sword, what's the halacha? Or what happens to him? Either bandits will come or the malchus will take care of him. But a snake bite, that's for different aveiras. That's when you're chayav strafa. This person was never accused of doing an Aveira that was Chayev Sreifa. That's the Gemara's question. That's what it means. Is he a Bar Nochosh? Is he somebody who needs to be punished by a snake? The Chayra, Kavi Yochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him the wrong punishment. That's the question. Yerub Larry.
What is the point in even having a Beis Din then on Nefashos? If we can count on Hashem to do what's right.
Hashem only steps in when there's no Beis Din.
Okay, but then why does he want us to have a Beis Din? If at the end of the day, the why do we need a Beis Din?
Why do you need anything? Kodesh Baruch Hu can take care of everything. Kodesh Baruch Hu said there has to be Shoftim, the Shoytrim, there has to be a judicial system. What happens if there were no Edim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. In other ways, those who are with us, remember when we learned Makkos, we learned the Gemara, that one person's in the tree, and he'll fall down, and he'll fall on somebody who killed B'Shegeg, etc., etc. So we have the way of killing by Beis Din. It's got to be Eidos, got to be Asra. And if for whatever reason, based on a technicality, Beis Din cannot kill him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. So either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, that's what it seems to be, gave this person the wrong punishment. Surely being bitten by a snake, that the Gemara says, is the appropriate punishment for somebody who's chayev shreifa. This person is not chayev shreifa. Answers the Gemara, Omri, they said, hahu, this particular individual, chait achrita havabei. He actually had another aveira up his sleeve as well. Don't think this was the only aveira. He was actually chayav misa twice. Now here comes the big question. This is something that Be'ezus Hashem we will learn later on in the Masechta. When somebody is chayev misa twice for two different averas, so which death penalty do you give him? Says the Gemara, the Omar Mar, Mishen is chayev shtei misa is bezdin. Whoever is chayev to be killed by bezdin on two separate accounts, nidoin bechamura. He will always be killed with the more severe of the two. So if, for example, a person is mechalal Shabbos twice, you just give him skila. Or if you do two separate averas, but they both carry the skila death penalty, so you give him skila. But cherev is the lowest one on the list. Srefa is higher up on the list. Therefore, this particular individual, albeit he had murdered now, but apparently he'd done another avera. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not take care of him then? I don't know. We don't ask kashas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the bottom line is that this person, don't think he was only over one avera. He was actually over two averas. One of which was the murder, for which essentially he would have been chayev only sayef, the cherev of the sword. But apparently he'd been over another avera, for which he was indeed chayev strefa. And as we said, strefa is comparable to a nochosh. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Chet achrina havagabei, shahoya mechayev mechuyev strefa. This person was over another avera for which you are obligated with the death penalty of strefa, shehi chamura. That's more chamur. Why is it more chamur? The iluroid sayach, when it comes to a case of a murderer, besayefu, that's with a sword. And umisa sayaf is kalo. The misa of sayaf is considered, as it were, more lightweight. So therefore, if this person had been over, in fact, two averas, one avera was the murder that we've just been busy with now. And for that, essentially, he would have been chayav the sayaf. Well, I'm afraid to say he was over another avera, which warranted the strafer punishment. Therefore, of the two, I can't give him murder twice. What do? We give him the more severe punishment. In this case, it's strafer, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized that a snake should come. Okay, says the Gemara, let's now finish off, and this, I guess, will be the last piece of Gemara we learn in this particular Zman, Mitz Hashem. Says the Gemara, Mu'umud. Mu'umud, as we've just been discussing, Edim have got to be people who actually witness the event, but not conjecture. However well-founded the conjecture is, they cannot now put somebody to death based on conjecture. Now, all of this was introduced to us by the Mishnah that says that when Edim come to Bezdin, when Edim come to Bezdin in a case of Dinei Nefashos, we intimidate the Edim. How do we intimidate the Edim? By asking them, excuse me, is this real witness? Is it real testimony? Or is it just mu'umud? Now, we have seen countless times in this perek that there are distinctions, many distinctions between Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Momonos. So if you tell me that this particular intimidation of the Edim, where the Dayanim say, make sure it's not Mu'umad, is a specific halacha in Dinei Nefashos. So what does that indicate about Dinei Momonos? It would sound like in Dinei Momonos, Mu'umad is okay. That's what it sounds like. It seems to be a specific intimidation only in the case of Dinei Nefashos. But in the case of Dinei Momonos, which is less severe, as we've seen many, many examples, it would seem to be that Mu'umad would actually satisfy, would be okay. So this is what the Gemara is going to deal with now. Says the Gemara, Mu'umad. B'dinei Nefashos, hu d'lo yomrino. That's where we cannot have, we cannot accept conjecture type edus. But it would sound like, ho, b'dinei momenes amrinon. It sounds like that. However, when you come to dinim ominous, it would be perfectly acceptable. Conjecture would be okay. So what would be a case of conjecture, Rabbi Yisai? Imagine somebody, you see Reuven pick up a rock, and then you close your eyes for 5 seconds. The next thing you hear is an enormous crashing sound. You see somebody's window smashed to pieces, and the rock that was in Reuven's hand a second ago is now sitting by that broken window. So all the circumstantial evidence seems to point in one direction, and obviously Reuven took this rock and he threw it through Shimon's window. But you never actually witnessed the event. You saw the rock in Reuven's hand. You saw the rock next to the broken window. You heard a rock flying through the air. You heard the smashing sound. You see the window smashed to pieces, but you never witnessed the event. So it would seem to be from our Mishnah that that's okay. It's only in the case of Dinei Nefoshos that we can't accept conjecture. But it would seem to be in Dinei Momonos we can, says the Gemara, Kaman, Kirab Acha. That would seem to follow the opinion of Rav Acha. Why, what did Rav Acha say? The Tanya Rav Acha. Rav Acha said the following, Rav Acha Oimer, Gomol, Ha'oicher Bein HaGemalim. There is a discussion what the translation of oicher is. Rashi has two translations. Either one camel was biting another or having relations with another. And the next thing you know, v'nimtza gomol horug betzidoy. And now guess what? You find that one of the camels is dead. So there's circumstantial evidence. Apparently, maybe he bit him too harshly or they had relations. They squashed him. So Rav Acha said, that's considered knowing that he killed him, and therefore you could take appropriate measures, remembering all the time, this is a case of momonos. So what does Rav Acha seem to be saying? Rav Acha seems to be saying, indeed, as we suggested before, then the case of Dine Momonos, you don't actually need to witness the event. It suffices if there is conjecture. Conjecture is also okay. That's what it sounds like. And that's why in the case of these camels, even though you never actually saw one kill the other, but there's overwhelming circumstantial evidence to suggest that that's exactly what happened. So it would seem to be that our Mishnah that suggests that Mu'umad conjecture is only problematic in the case of Nefoshes, but not in the case of Momonos, that would seem to follow the opinion of Rav Acha. Look at Rashi. Ha'badine Momonos omdinon eidos Mu'umad. It would seem to be that we're perfectly happy to have a conjecture type eidos in the case of Momonos. Why? Midat nan lei. Because we learn this halacha in the Mishnah Gabe Iyum Eidei Nefoshos, because we only learn this with regard to intimidation in the case of Nefoshos, but we did not have this Mishnah taught to us with regard to intimidation of Momonos. Don't forget, as Rashi quotes, we did learn a Mishnah, Damrinan Luhu Sadi Sheka Agurinu Zili. There is an intimidation in the case of Momonos as well, but it's much less severe. What is the intimidation in the case of Momonos? We say, excuse me, did you really see the event? Or were you just hired, you're being bribed to say that you saw it? But in that list of intimidation in the case of Momonos, Mu'umad did not appear. So apparently that's not part of the intimidation in the case of Dinei Momonos, but it does seem to be in the case of Dinei Nefoshes. And therefore, that seems, to go with Rav Acha's opinion. What did Rav Acha say? Then in the case of these two camels, as Rashi says in the next Rashi, Ha'oicher, what does Ha'oicher mean? Noishich. Shemati, that's what I heard, is the translation of Ha'oicher, but it could be, V'li nirekesh ha'gomel ha'zohar, the male camel, Mizdaveh imanakevo, has relations with a female camel. That's also called Ha'oicher. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Bukhari. So if one sits on another, could easily have squashed the other camel. Now that you find the second camel dead, it would seem to be that we have conjecture, we have circumstantial evidence to suggest that the first killed the second, but we don't have an absolute proof. And it would seem that that was okay. It's only in the case of dinei nefasha is tamu umad is possible, but not in the case of dinei mamonos. Says the Gemara, no, I disagree. On a tamheich, according to your reason, if you are medayik, the Mishnah over here with the case of dinei nefashis, as opposed to what it says with regard to dinei mamonos, and you want to claim anything that's written in our Mishnah, not in the previous Mishnah, only applies to nefashis and not to mamonos, well, then you're going to get stuck. What about aid mipi aid? Remember, we learned in our Mishnah, you cannot have an aid mipi aid. The aid who reports it in Beis Din has to be the one who saw it, not that which he heard from another aid. That is mentioned in the case of dinei nefashis, but it's not mentioned in the case of dinei mamonos. So therefore, according to your diuk, if you follow it to its logical conclusion, you're going to have to arrive at the maskana that aid mipi aid apparently is okay in the case of mamonos. Ulatameich, according to your reasoning, aid mipi aid duktami bedinei nefashos, hu deloy amrinon, that's where it would not qualify, b'ha bedinei mamonos amrinon. Are you trying to tell me that therefore, in the case of dinei mamonos, aid mipi aid would suffice because it's written in the case of dinei nefashos, but it's not written in the case of dinei mamonos? And yet, v'otanan, we've learned in a Mishnah, im omar hu omar li shani chayev loy, or he told me that he was told that, or ish ploini omar li shu chayev loy, or somebody told me that Reuven is chayev to Shimon, then aloche is loy omar klum. That's nothing. Until we can testify that it was in front of me that he actually admitted that he owes the money, not that I heard it from somebody else. If Reuven admitted in front of the Edim, and Reuven said, I hereby confess, I admit that I owe Shimon $1,000. Fine, that's considered Edus. But if the Edim say, to be perfectly honest, he did not admit this in front of us, but we heard it from somebody else. It says it's no good. Ah, if it's no good, so aid mipi aid apparently is possible where in the case of dinei mamonos as well. So even though it's only mentioned in the Mishnah of dinei nefashos and not in the Mishnah of dinei mamonos, but it still applies to both. Alma, therefore you see, Afal gav the psili bedine mamonos amrin lo bedine nefashis. So you see that if it's possible in dine mamonos, it's possible in dine nefashis, and we're not distinguishing. Is hachanami therefore afal gav the psili bedine mamonos amrin lo bedine nefashis? So too therefore, in the case of Mu'umad, don't be medayek the fact that it says it with regard to nefashis and not mamonos. No, it's possible in both cases. So therefore, in the final analysis, the Gemara says we do not like the diuk. It's true. Rav Acha, as mentioned, does seem to differentiate between nefashis and mamonos, but our Mishnayos are not. Some are mentioned in the nefashis Mishnah, some are not mentioned in the nefashis Mishnah. Whatever it may be, they apply equally to both mamonos and nefashis, which therefore means in the final analysis, aid mipi aid is a problem not only in the case of nefashos, but so too in the case of mamonos. So too, mu'umad, conjecture, is a psur in the case of nefashos, and so too in the case of mamonos as well. The difference would be, we really have left with an outstanding question, and that is, if the psulim are equal in dine nefoshes and in dine mominus, then why indeed were they only mentioned in the intimidation Mishnah of dine nefoshes? And the answer is that's exactly what the Gemara is pointing out. Even though they are possible in dine mominus, it's true, but they're only mentioned in the intimidation drasha in the case of nefoshes. Not that the psul applies only in one case and not the other. The psul applies in both. When we are intimidating the edim, we only make mention of it in dine nefoshes. Why? Again, because we go back to our good old rule. In dine nefoshes, we're doing absolutely everything we possibly can to get him off the hook. So here it's more important for us to mention the whole long shopping list in the intimidation. The fact that it's not mentioned in the intimidation list in dine mominus doesn't mean it's not a psul. And that's what the Gemara means. Afal gav de psili bedine mominus. It's true, it might be possible in the case of dine mominus. But Omrinon lo bedine nefoshes. It's only actually stated in the case of nefoshes. Look at the last Rashi, towards the bottom of the Omud. Omrinon le bedine nefoshes laharbois hadvarim. There we want to be more verbal. Ula farish, ula ayem, want to be more explicit, more intimidating. Ubedine mominus, however, loy ichpaslon la ayem alein kolkach. It's not so important for us to intimidate him so much. But not that the psul doesn't apply. Therefore, really, in the bottom line, both nefoshes and mominus both have a psul of mu'umad, both have a psul of aid and p'aid. Whether it's mentioned or not as part of the intimidation, that only applies in dine nefoshes. Why does it not apply in dine mominus, as Rashi explained? Because it's not so critical for us to intimidate the Eidim. But in the event that it does turn out that it's Eid M'Pi'eid or Mu'umad, it would indeed be possible.
Rabbi, if it was written about intimidation in Mominus, we wouldn't have to learn it about Finnefashas. It would be a Kal V'Chomer.
No, but it's not done by Mominus. It can't write it.
I know, I'm saying, but if it was done by Mominus, we wouldn't need to mention it.
For sure, but it's not done by Mominus. So it's only written in the case of nefoshes because it's not mentioned at all in the case of mominus for reasons that Rashi just mentioned. Okay, Rabbi Issa, we have to hold it over here.
Can I ask you a quick Tisha B'Av question?
Yes, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. The whole Indian of Tisha B'Av is we looked at our life as much more sad and depressing. We have no emunah b'tachon. Hashem said, if you're going to cry on Tisha B'Av, forever you'll cry on this day. So aren't we feeding into that whole problem over and over and over and over again by crying? Or is there an Indian where we can change the whole by not crying on this day? I mean, it's kind of like we're burying ourselves more and more and more because every year on the same day, we do it again and again and again.
Right now, I gave a share last year about the purpose of crying on Tisha B'Av. What is the purpose of crying? What are we trying to achieve with our crying? I'll send it to you right now, Mr. Shir. We should all fast well. We should feel well. We should do this. Favors, and we'll be in touch, Mitzvah Hashem, in the coming weeks, Mitzvah Hashem.
When are we, Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're coming back?
I'll send you an email before, Mitzvah Hashem.